Hello and welcome everyone to yet another episode of the 40 Life Podcast. Bringing this just, you know, auditory spectacle to your ears is me, myself, Tom. This will be a, you know, weekly-ish podcast, you know, talking about arguably the most complex card game ever envisioned, Magic the Gathering, life in general, kids, life after 40, and just whatever else I feel like talking about. So hopefully if you recognize the voice, good for you. Means you're really old, just like me. But I used to love podcasting about Magic the Gathering many, many years ago on a show called Monday Night Magic, which I think is still around, which is kind of awesome in a lot of ways. But now that my kids are starting school and I'm kind of getting back in the swing of things, I wanted to podcast again. So this is actually the third episode. First episode was a kind of a quick intro. The second episode was pretty awesome, so I recommend you go check it out, because I was actually joined by an amazing guest host, Benny Smith, kind of our commander guru in many, many ways. You probably know him from his amazing articles for years on Star City Games. I believe he is actually having an immense number of fun right now, right at the SCG Open just this past weekend. Myself, I have to entertain myself. It is ungodly cold here in Minnesota. So first off, it's in like the teens, which is early, a little strange. And for you listening out there, if you know anybody from Minnesota, I give you a challenge. Is first ask them if they lived there in 1991. And see what they're, ask them what they remember of Minnesota in the year 1991. If you get an answer that's not one of the following two, send me an email. So it's 40, F-O-R-T-Y, 40 Life Podcast at gmail.com. They don't give you one of these two. Send me a message and I will send you a prize. Remember, we're talking, you know, something pretty amazing. I have a list of a little pile of cards I want to give away. My personal favorite card is a German version of a brass man called Messing Man. So I will send you a prize if they don't either respond something about the Minnesota Twins winning a World Series. It was actually their second time. Their first one was 1987. Or hopefully the answer you get is about the great Halloween blizzard. Since we just surpassed the Halloween holidays, it is a sign of a true old Minnesotan if they wax and wane oddly, very pleasantly, and almost fond and proud of this just ridiculous blizzard that we had on Halloween. And I was still a trick-or-treating age. So I still remember trudging through foot and a half of snow to get lots of candy because it was kind of slim pickings that day. But I don't think you came to here to listen to me talk about the great Minnesota Blizzard of 1991. We're here to talk about Magic the Gathering and then my latest project that I'm making for my daughters. So to me, I think the most exciting thing that recently happened is we got a preview at a recent, I'm trying to think how to describe this event for you. We'll say Magic Fest. That's kind of the way to put this. And specifically Magic Fest Richmond just happened basically within the past week, depending on when you listen to this. And Wizards had been teasing that they're going to be doing something very unique and brand new. And we had seen these images of a mystery booster, and there's going to be what's called a mystery booster draft. And in some ways, we'll talk about what kind of leaked out from this event. Then general two is that Wizards just today, so today's November 11th when I'm recording this, kind of came out and gave us some more official information about what the mystery booster event was and what this will be going forward. So I think what got everybody so excited is, A, they knew there's going to be sort of this interesting draft-like event coming out, and we saw these images of a mystery booster. But potentially the most exciting thing is when the event finally kicked off, and this is kind of already just the amazingness and weirdness of Twitter these days, is people were texting these just bizarre images of what appeared to be playtest cards. And these things are cool, and we'll talk about it. There's a lot of them. There's over 100, so we'll talk about them. I'll give you some of the ones I liked best, but I'll also put a link in the show notes. I really recommend you go check them out. A nice place to browse through the list is scryfall.com. They have a nice list with images of all these playtest cards. So what the mystery booster was at kind of this event, and we'll talk about some of the events going forward, is you had 15 cards. So acts like a normal booster. The bizarre thing is 14 of these cards comes from a card pool of previously printed cards. These have appeared in Magic. And the pool is officially mentioned as being 1,694 cards. So these are all reprints. What was interesting was card number 15 was what we would call a playtest card. So going way back to the invention of Magic for testing out cards. So basically print out these white and black stickers, stick them on a card, and this is how they would play test, you know, card sets at Wizards of the Coast, Hasbro, whatever you want to call it now. In some ways, you know, we would see pictures of these every once in a while, they would escape and leak out. But in some ways, this was kind of the first beta test of putting these playtest cards in boosters. And this just incredibly cool. So I think you have to be a fairly jaded Magic player to at least not be kind of excited and interested in seeing these. Where I'm going to get even more excited is I have been a longtime casual player, be it, you know, Commander, old days Elder Dragon Highlander, Tribal was a personal favorite. But I also have really enjoyed the unsets. So Unhinged, Unglued, those types of sets. Again, not made for tournament play. They do wacky things with the rules. There's sometimes potentially physicality to the cards. They've just always been great. And surprising to a lot of us is we actually are getting another unset. So they announced this back in October, so October 10th. They officially announced we're getting a third unset called Unsanctioned. So again, if you've never played or seen the uncards, like Unglued, Unhinged, first off is their silver border, which I think is, you know, pretty awesome to see. Next, so again, October 10th, they're telling me about Unsanctioned. So it says silver borders could be actually released February 29th of 2020. Unsanctioned will contain 5 combinable 30-card silver border decks. It says for wacky unfun. There will be 16 new uncards, says to trip your untrigger. They'll also be reprinting some of maybe the most favorite cards from the previous unsets. So Unsanctioned basically is going to be, as far as I can tell, a box set. I don't know if there's going to be, at least from they're showing here, it does not appear to be there would be boosters like what we had with the previous sets. So each copy of Unsanctioned will have 5 30-card decks, 2 6-sided dice, 10 double-sided tokens, 10 full art basic lands. It says 5 regular, 5 premium, so these will probably be very expensive and a reusable box. There's already been some fun little tidbits that have come out that we'll probably get our first legendary squirrel out of the set as being a tribal. Pretty excited. And if you go to the, and I'll have in the show notes, if you go to the release page for Unsanctioned, they show the image of the box for Unsanctioned, and there is a goblin with a nose that looks like a goblin shark. If you don't know what a goblin shark is, go Google it. It's a kind of a hilarious looking animal. And then also shows it battling up against a anthropomorphic squirrel that looks pretty tough. So I'm assuming we're going to see that. So a fun, just kind of fan theory is that potentially some of these playtest cards that we are seeing now in the mystery boosters were playtest cards from the development of, we'll say, the Unsanctioned product, or possibly these have been kind of uncard ideas that have been floating around at Wizards maybe for a long time. So again, right now, if you go to a Wizards event, so the way that they say this is that there's going to be 2 types of mystery boosters going forward. This is where I got a little confused just to go through it. It says there's going to be, again, 2 versions. Again, the set itself, as they mentioned, is 1,694 reprints. It says from all through the game's history. If you go, and I'll have a link in the show note, if you go through, they actually list all 1,694 cards. By the next episode, I am planning to try to scroll through that whole list and see kind of if there's any sort of crazy nuggets in there. As of recording this, I have not gone through it because this is a whole lot of cards there, and it just came out today. But again, they're listing that the set is 1,694 cards, reprints from the history of Magic, and this is an additional 121 copies of something unique. So what they said is in the Mystery Booster Convention Edition, and these are going to be available at Magic Fests and conventions moving forward. It says this includes PAX Unplugged in December, Philadelphia, and will be then they'll release a Wizards Play Network or kind of a store booster version starting March 13th of 2020. So in your convention edition, and this is what we would have seen here at Magic Fest Richmond, was you had your 14 cards and then that 15th card being these crazy, crazy playtest cards. The WPN or kind of the store version will again will contain 14 cards coming from the 1,694 reprint set. And then you'll also get one card, it says, of 121 possible foil cards. And this is the exact quote from their release. It says, the foil cards are not found in the main set. Yes, this is above and beyond the 1,694 there, which says their whole goal is to make each of these drafts very unique. So they kind of, they refer to things like Chaos Draft, Cube Draft, Wacky Draft, things like that. So this 121 pool of foil cards is different than the base set. And it says this will make the draft even more repeatable. And again, here, plus, and this is being teased to us by Blake Rasmussen. Plus, I want to make sure I give you the exact right details on this. Someone told me that the foil sheet has some pretty exciting stuff on it, and that we'll get a list of what's there closer to the March 13th release. So right now, if you want to slog through it, we do have the list of the base 1,694 reprints that'll be in the set. We have seen what amounts to, I think, all, if we have a list of all 121 playtest cards that, I guess, presumably, I am kind of curious to see if this was Grand Prix Richmond. I am very excited for the kind of next event, and I'm not sure if that's PAX, or I'll have to see if there's another Magic Fest before PAX Unplugged, but I would love for us to crunch the numbers as these come out to see, are they the same playtest cards in each one going forward? Are we always going to see the same playtest cards? Are these going to potentially change, revolve, like completely brand new? Are they going to be fixing the same 121 cards as we go forward? I think it's fascinating. I will be excited to see how they do this. Because these playtest cards are pretty nuts. Again, I won't read through, obviously, all 121 of them, but there are some that I think are pretty exciting. And including one that references something that I still have not yet found an answer to. So there's just so many to go through. It's kind of hard to give you examples of this. So I'll just kind of start picking out random ones that I thought were kind of bizarre. So coming up, again, all these say test card. They're not for constructed play. They are white, black, and stickers stuck on other cards. Primarily, the back card seems to match what the card itself talks about. But hey, we're going to kind of see how it goes. Oh my gosh, there's so many on here. So one of the first ones that grabbed my attention was five kids in a trench coat. So it's two and a white. It's a creature, human, citizen. It's a 1/5. And again, these are play tests. So they usually use card name as a holder for the card in case they change the name. So card name counts as five creatures for spells and effects that count the number of creatures you control. Obviously, some of these just wouldn't make sense outside of like an unset is we have Metagamer. It's a white-white. It's a creature, human, advisor. It's a 2/2. And just says cards in the winning decks of the latest Mythic Championship cost one more to cast. And here we actually have a we have somebody join me live here, so I want to say welcome. It's Alu Axbar. So yes, I am podcasting again, and thank you for joining. What I'll ask there, I'll short name will say, oh, it's Dinesh. Okay, there we go. Now I know who it is. Another fellow Magic Dad who lives for that 30 minutes to an hour after your kids go to bed and before you pass out in your own bed. So awesome. And he is also, if I remember correctly, he is a transplant who used to know Minnesota or the Midwest. He may have just joined, so I'll have to have him do the Minnesota challenge that I talked about at the beginning of the podcast, which is, again, ask somebody from Minnesota or the Midwest, when they think of the year 1991, name something that happened in 1991. Dinesh, right now I was just talking about going through sort of the incredibly cool, I'll say kind of mystery boosters and the playtest cards and kind of some of my theories and what I was hoping to see on this. And if you are really brave, because I have podcasted with Dinesh before, I can even have you join live here with me. So I don't know how brave you feel, if the kids are in bed or if they are otherwise entertained. We can have you join. Okay, Dinesh, I may have to rescind your invitation because you made me feel incredibly old by saying you were only 2 years old in 1991. Yeah. If people want to do the math at home, I was, depending on which time of the year you pick in 1991, I was either 12 or 13. So, damn, I am getting old. But I'll kind of keep pulling up boosters. Dinesh, let me know if you want to hop in there, or even just print out or type out any of the names of any of the playtest cards that you found were kind of incredibly interesting, because there's just so many on here. There are some in-jokes. So one of these is Control Wind Condition. It's a 4 blue-blue. It's a creature whale. It says, this spell cannot be countered. Shroud. Card names, power, and toughness are each equal to the number of turns you've taken this game. If this is in your deck, please keep track of your turns. And it says, this means you mark. There's Form of the Mull Drifter. It's a tribal enchantment elemental. When this comes in the battlefield, it's a 4 and a blue. When this enters the battlefield, you draw 2 cards. And it says, you may cast creature cards from your hand as though they were the card Mull Drifter. We have a legendary Homrid Warrior. I've always loved Homrids. This is Kahad, Etlan, Sheis Envoy, 2 and a blue. Legendary creature Homrid Warrior is a 2/3. It says all lands are islands in addition to the other types. Other Homrids, Camarids, Cephalids, and Nautilids and Merfolk you control get +1/+1. There's just so many bizarre cards in here. It's hard to... We'll just have to keep talking about them going forward. And some of the names are just great. We have, instead of smallpox or pox, we have large pox. There's one card that says one with death. It's a black instant. You lose the game. So you're trying to get your opponent to somehow play that. There's Yawgmoth's Testament. Oh my, yeah, there's so many. The one that has me the most interested, and again, I haven't found a good answer to this, is one of the playtest cards was called Plane Quake. And Dinesh is saying he's out of the loop. He's seeing these for the first time. So Dinesh, in case anybody else pops in to listen, we're going to throw the link right into the chat here. Or if you want to, it's scryfall.com/sets/MYSTPT. But here you go. Dinesh, there you go. Take a look. These are so cool. But again, the one that has me the most excited, I mean, I guess not necessarily play-wise, but just what it refers to. So it's Plane Quake. Red X sorcery. Card name deals X damage to each creature without flying and each planeswalker. Yeah, sounds like a pretty common earthquake so far. If X is 10 or more, it says open the, quote, uncovered cavern, end quote, plot booster. Again, I'm a nobody, so nobody's responded, but I have not been able to figure out, did somebody play this for the 10? And is there like a hidden briefcase with a combination on it that literally contains a uncovered cavern, like custom booster? Still don't know the answer to this one. I would love to hear more about it. We have a new Tybalt. As in a sort of in-joke one, we have Bear with Sets Mechanic. It's a green and a colorless. It's a creature bear. It's a 2/2. Has vigilance and aggressive. So during your turn, there's an additional combat phase after the first, and only creatures with aggressive may attack during it. Here's another Experiment 5. It's a green. It's a 1/1. It's a creature bear snake mutant. Its ability is 1 and a Z. And it says, put a +1/+2 counter on card name, and Z is paid with one mana from any source that could produce two or more colors of mana. So it does kind of weird things with this. Dinesh is telling me to take a look at one that's called Q of Beetles, which is a 3 and a red. It's a creature insect. It's a 3/3, has haste. And now, just to make things more confusing, it says the stack is now first in, first out instead of last in, first out. So it says the first spell or ability on the stack is the first one to resolve. I'll try to find it. There's also another card that was in this that basically made damage go on the stack again, like the way the rules used to be, which is pretty crazy. Yeah, there's just an unlimited number of cool cards in this. So this is something I'll probably spend the next number of episodes just honestly picking out favorite ones on this that we'll read. Another one that's kind of fun, just kind of loving slivers, is we have Sliv Mizzet, the Hive Mind, 2, colorless, blue, blue, red, red. It's a legendary creature, Dragon Sliver. It's a 4/4. So slivers you control have flying and, quote, whenever you draw a card, this creature deals 1 damage to any target and tap, draw a card. So basically turns all your guys into little to live methods. We have Mirrored Lotus. So again, I mean, artifacts are probably going to be pretty exciting usually, and then we'll talk a little bit about the lands. 2 artifacts. Actually, first, let me talk about Lantern of Undersight. It's a 1 colorless artifact. It's a little thing that says, got to love underdecking. It says, you draw cards from the bottom of your library instead of the top of your library. I guess this is one of my personal favorites for being surprisingly succinct, but crazy how it affects the game, personally, with this. Going a Mirrored Lotus, it's a 0 colorless artifact, reflect 0. As this enters the battlefield, each opponent may pay, in this case, 0, the reflect cost. When they do, they create a token copy of this, except it lacks this ability, so it's not like a, doesn't go on forever. Tap, exile card name or the Lotus, and you add 3 mana of any one color, but it's kind of unilateral, but hopefully you get to use it first. It's hard not to like a one called a unicycle, 2 colorless. It's an artifact equipment vehicle. Has first strike, haste. Equipped creature has first strike and haste. It's a equip 1, crew 1, and it's a 3/1. So I kind of had to sort of like that. They also have some just kind of bizarre lands. They have one that's an Enchanted Prairie. It's an enchantment land. Otherwise, it comes into play tapped, and it's a white and a blue. They have some cards that have an ability called Legacy, where in some ways you kind of get a limited number of uses of the card per game. And then we'll end with probably one of my favorite cards out of this set, just because I have played Magic for a long time. And this card is called Jaskonian Isle. It's a land creature, island fish. So land creature, island fish. Unless you played Magic way back in basically the Alpha to 3rd edition, you probably have not come across this card called I'm trying to remember the name of the dumb card. It says ridiculously big blue fish card in 3rd edition. I thought it was Jaskonian. Oh, here. Island Fish Jaskonius. There we go. So what this is referencing is Island Fish Jaskonius, and this was in, I guess, up to 4th edition, and also in Arabian Nights. Creature fish, 4 blue, blue, blue. So we're talking a whopping 7 converted mana costs. I mean, this is not one that you dink around with. So the original Island Fish Jaskonius, 4 blue, blue, blue. I'm going to use its up-to-date errata. So it's a creature fish. Island fit, this card doesn't untap during your untap step. At the beginning of your upkeep, you may pay blue, blue, blue. If you do, you can untap the island fish. And it can't even attack unless your defending player controls an island. And if you control no islands, you have to sacrifice it. It is a 6/8, but there's a lot of negatives. So it's, if you just want to see kind of how card powers may have creeped over time, this is kind of a fun little example. But back to our reference to this is Jasconian Isle. It's a land creature, island fish. Thank you very much, Dinesh. I'm glad you could join. So we have this card is just so bizarre. Jasconian Isle, land creature, dash, island fish. It says, is a reminder text card name, isn't a spell. It is affected by summoning sickness. It's blue and it has tap, add a blue because it is a subtype island and also a fish. It enters the battlefield tapped. It doesn't untap during your untap step. It's a 3/4. And at the beginning of your upkeep, you may pay blue to untap it. So I thought it was kind of a neat reference to it. In some ways, it's kind of half the card. Instead of being a 6/8, it's a 3/4. It takes less blue to untap it. Nice that it doesn't have a casting cost of 7 mana, which I thought was pretty good. So that was just kind of a fun throwback. There's so many cards we'll bring these up kind of each time that we do it. This is sort of an unlimited pool. But as I said before, I cannot wait to see if in the future kind of Magic Fest or other convention events that they mention with this, if we're going to see the same playtest cards, completely brand new ones, or if they're actually going to modify these existing ones over time. So, yeah, Mystery Boosters sound exciting. There's going to be a huge slog of cards in there to see. One other interesting thing to tell is it says cards in the Mystery Booster, and this is that base 14 card, so not your special super duper card. It says cards in the Mystery Booster will have the original set symbols and numbering of one of their printings. Presumably these are all going to be black border from what I can get from their website. The only difference is it says way in the bottom left corner, this is a little Planeswalker symbol. I guess that's how you're going to know it's from this Mystery Boosters. So to me, this is probably one of the more personally exciting things that's happened, honestly, this year in Magic for me. So it's kind of easy to get a little bit down on Standard being a little, boring with Oko and making effects in wide spreading formats. It's probably going to be getting nuked here pretty soon. But still, some people have been pretty negative about Standard. This has brought me back. It just seems exciting. I like, as a very casual player, Draft is just a phenomenal format to kind of play potentially a little bit more of a competitive game. You get to see a lot of cards, maybe play combinations you don't normally get to do. And in some ways, maybe a little bit less of investment than, sometimes the cost of some of the singles these days. We'll be talking about Mystery Boosters, I think, going forward. I can't wait to see what some of these special foils are for the kind of March release in stores. Again, I can't wait to see the evolution as these come out in future Magic Fest events. It's just a cool time to be watching Magic. Other things I've been doing for playing Magic is if you've followed all me on Twitter, and I am at PSG Reader, or you can follow the podcast at 40 Life Cast, is for me as a dad gamer, I loved playing paper Magic. I loved playing, online MTGO, but it's hard to fit that into like a work kid family lifestyle. It's hard to carve out 2, 3, 4 hours to sit down and kind of do just one thing. That's tough to do. So I've always been very attracted to MTG Arena. Kind of played obviously in the very open betas. Wasn't hard to get into. It's now official. And the thing that has turned me around the most, actually there's two things. One is I don't have to worry about a secondary card market. It's annoying where it might take some more work or buying packs to get a certain card, but with the wild cards, that's better. But it is cool not to have to worry about what the current price is for like a dual land or something like that. The thing that has me the most excited, though, is when other people, including Marcel, inform me that the drafts, including these are the ranked drafts, can be done completely asynchronously. So AI can do the draft itself asynchronous, which is, that part's usually not that long, but it's still nice in case some sort of bloodied emergency comes up or something's literally, because my youngest likes to start things on fire. That's the way it is. I don't think it's anything bad. I like to start things on fire when I was that age. The challenge is that we now have to really hide the click grill starters because, just got to be careful. So every once in a while, there's literally something on fire. So I have to go figure that out. So doing the draft asynchronously is pretty amazing. The buttercream frosting on top of the MGG Arena Red Velvet Cupcake is the games can be played in any rate or anytime they want. So I could play all of them in one day, you know, up to my 3 losses or 7 wins. I can play one game a day. Like after the kids go to bed, I can crank out one draft game to see how I do. Yeah, it's amazing. And honestly, the payout or the rewards, especially if you are like me and at best a below average draft player, I'm still earning some gems. That's the premium currency. I am getting a booster pack. Get MTG Arena, you're getting a slightly smaller number of cards per booster than you would if you bought a paper booster. But still, I kind of feel like I'm always going to be getting something. And depending on how you are purchasing your gems or earning them, it comes out to be like $3 to $5 per draft, which is pretty crazy. And you get to keep the cards you drafted. So, and even if you draft a bunch of commons you don't need, they have a system where you don't necessarily dust them on purpose, but your excess cards you really don't need more than 4 will get sort of churned up and turned into wild cards for other cards. So for me, it's felt like a good value. The asynchronous style fits my life. Overall, I have to be honest, I've been very happy with the MTG Arena experience. Nothing's perfect. One of the big black eyes recently is they've kind of released sort of one of the new Eternal formats called Pioneer that they're going to be apparently very aggressive with banning cards and things to kind of keep the format healthy, is that is not officially supported on MTG Arena. That is something that's basically paper or MTGO. But for how I play Magic, MTG Arena has been a good fit. We're coming towards the end. There's only so much I can talk to myself. I even find myself a little bit boring sometimes. But the one thing that has me excited outside of playing Magic is I've always loved to tinker with electronics. The start, we got one of those little Power Wheel Jeeps for Christmas for my daughters. They come with these little 12-volt motors. It goes pretty slow. It has this just god-awful lead-acid battery in it. You know, it's like a AA that weighs 45 pounds. I know enough to be dangerous, so I was able to, I call it modifying the Power Wheel. So over the last few years, we have basically taken out the 12-volt motors, put in 24-volt motors, new gearbox ratios. I put in, just did some simple rewiring to put in a lithium, basically rechargeable RC car battery. So it's much lighter and you get much better battery life. I put in Kua LED headlights with a little programmable box so the girls could change the colors. It's been great fun. But especially my kids seem to keep getting bigger, is they get bigger and eventually they don't fit in the Power Wheels anymore. And I've kind of we're hitting that this year. My youngest is starting to not fit in the Power Wheels. I even moved the seats. So we're going to bequeath the Power Wheels to a neighbor who has a young boy about 4, and I think he's going to love it. So I need to build the next version. So I decided to start building an electric go-kart. So this started as being a young child myself in a more rural area. Go-karts were quite fun, but just ungodly dangerous. You know, you got a exposed motor that's hot. You may or may not have roll bars, so you may or not have rolled it on yourself and hopefully didn't crush your head. But going forward is now, you can get some used go-karts pretty cheap, and there's also some amazingly efficient kind of brushless electric motors. So I've started to buy all the parts, and now that it's officially winter, I'm going to be spending the winter season here just figuring out the wiring, getting everything set up, and then the spring, we're going to get a used, hopefully non-functioning go-kart, because I don't need the gas motor, and we're going to make our own kind of, as my dad would say, the Belchfire 9000 electric go-kart. So this is a 1800 or 2000 watt, 48 volt brushless motors. I'm trying to decide how funky I want to get with this thing, because I am planning, or at least considering, depending on how I can do the axle, of having two motors, one basically, depending if you want to do a live axle or not, basically two motors driving the rear axle or one motor in each wheel. When kids are driving, we just run one, again, probably live axle. And if you're an adult and you want to say go like 30 to 40 miles an hour, I have a special button that triggers both or engages both motors. So that's something we're going to be playing with over the winter. I'll share if I have any new insights, new injuries, or any horrific injuries to myself. But again, thank you very much for joining. Again, this is Tom bringing you another episode of the 40 Life Podcast, talking about Magic the Gathering, life in general, typically more casual. Currently, my just infatuation with the playtest cards and the mystery boosters. Plan to come to you about every week or so. You can find the podcast at www.40lifepodcast.com. I haven't checked it today. We'll make sure it's still up. It is. So 40lifepodcast.com. You can get all the episodes there. Send me messages. You can follow the podcast at Twitter at 40lifecast. And whenever I say 40, it's F-O-R-T-Y. You can email us at 40lifepodcast@gmail.com. You can follow me personally at PSG Reader. I will be roping in guest hosts here and there, hopefully for most episodes. I'm going to be trying to pressure Marcel to join me because he was a lot of fun to podcast with before. Yeah, eventually we'll get this thing on iTunes, you know, some of the other podcast feeds out there, but we do have our own RSS feed. In a future episode, I want to talk about that the current state of just a basic WordPress install and how easy they are to use and the basic cost of hosting. It's gotten pretty impressive. After been podcasting starting like 10 years ago, and these were some of the pretty early days of podcasting, it is amazing. Pants exploding amazing how much easier it's gotten. And some of the recording options have gotten much better. Like I'm literally trying to do this on using the built-in bot on, or not built-in, but a bot for Discord. Because if you listen to Money at Magic a long, long time ago, my personal favorite thing in the entire world is when we had, you know, some sort of an audience, is we would do these live call-in shows. And we had to use this the audio quality was terrible, some terrible ways of doing it, but they are still some of my most favorite podcast memories to date. And just kind of researching different recording things, that's where I discovered that Discord basically does that all for free. And you can do it through your phone app, the website, a desktop app. People can record, people can chat, I can add them to a call. I can now record it. It's amazing. So no, this truly is a podcasting renaissance time. It's fun to reach out, be out there. Enough of me talking, we'll wrap it up. Thank you again. Voice is hoarse. Again, thank you for joining me, Tom. Another episode of 40 Life Podcast. Join us at 40lifepodcast.com. Follow us on Twitter. I said them before. Send me an email. I'm old. I still like emails. 40lifepodcast@gmail.com. Thank you very much. Have a good one.